Okay, so hello, Hoopers. It's been, oh my God, almost 7 months since I posted a podcast. I'm very embarrassed. But let me tell you, I'm not making excuses. I just have an 8-year-old computer that was full, had nowhere to put any of the stuff that I had on it. Maybe a lot of you know that if you are financially challenged as I am, that you just kind of have to figure out how to do stuff creatively. And I ran out of space to do podcasts. So, anyway, I'm back on, up and running, cleared off a bunch of stuff, had to rebuild my super drive so I could burn CDs of things to get off my computer. It goes on and on and on. Very lame. But I'm very excited. I have an interview that I did with, Dustin Hubel in May when he was in Portland, with his wife, Kate. And, we had a nice little chat with him and it was a great workshop. And he is also on the Dudes of Hooping calendar. I don't know if you guys got around to getting that. It's really spectacular. And I don't know if they're still available, but Dudes of Hooping, it was a fundraiser for Spin Cycle that I believe Richard Porter put together. And at this recording, it's in December, and I have Malcolm Stewart is up on my December calendar. It's a really great calendar. But I digress. So Dustin's workshop was with hoop manipulation. So this is another branch of hooping that I really find fascinating, you know, kind of like the element of juggling, but with hoops. The workshop was great. It really was. And instead of me babbling on about how great it is, why don't we listen to what Dustin has to say about the workshop? Oh, and correction, Dustin's wife is Kay. My apologies. So sorry, Kay. It was lovely meeting you too, by the way. Thanks, guys. And here's the interview. All right, we're recording. So we just got done doing this amazing 2-day workshop. So why don't you introduce yourself and then explain the workshop?
Oh, I'm Dustin Hubel. I guess the workshops were, it was 4 workshops in total, 4 90-minute workshops that were back-to-back. So it was 3-hour Saturday, 3-hour Sunday. The first workshop of each day is on isolations, mostly with one hoop, and just kind of working on different types of still isolations, tips on cleaning them up, and then moving stuff and kind of making your lines look nicer. Then it was a lot of two-hoop material or twin-hoop material, poi-type stuff, like a lot of weaving, turning, butterflies, flowers, and extensions. It's all the things I consider like really like fundamental to the things that I do. So it's kind of a kind of distilled that into 6 hours of teaching.
That was a lot. There was a lot of head scratching for this.
Yeah.
It was just the crossing over both sides or getting your hands to do the same thing, but with two hoops. It was mind-boggling. Oh, we might have to move?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to have to take this out. I do believe that there's a class going on, so stand by. Okay, we're back. So we had to, we got what are you still doing here? Look. So we decided to move this across the street and finish our conversation. So we were... Oh, I was talking about how this workshop was really, it was hard in a really good way. I haven't been challenged like this in a really long time, and I teach beginner hoop. So to be able to take a class and continue to learn, you know, is just really like, yes, you know, it's very exciting. So, and then there were other hoopers in there that I know that are very good that were definitely scratching their heads too. So congratulations on on blowing our minds, and it was like so worth it. I can't wait to see everybody's video because it's like it was so much. My brain was overloaded. It was just like, oh my God, I want to know how to do this. Why aren't my arms working like that? It looks so easy. Oh my God, this sucks.
Yeah, I've been thinking about taking some of the stuff out of the workshop too to like spend more time on fewer things. I don't know if that's good or not. I don't know. Getting everything worked out now, but everyone's been really impressed with the workshops. Everyone's gotten a lot out of it, which is really good.
So tell me about your so you said this is the last date for this, so I can't like plug your next city, where did you go? And and this is your honeymoon too.
Yes.
Isn't it?
Yeah,
it's the honeymoon tour.
So introduce
My wife, Kay.
Hello. Congratulations. Thank you.
Thanks. Yeah, so we started off, I guess I flew out from the UK first and spent 5 days in the Northeast and taught in Philadelphia, then 2 days in New York. Then after that, we flew to Vegas on April 16th, got married on the 18th. And then went to San Francisco and Oakland, and we've taught in San Francisco, Oakland, went down to L.A., went up to Seattle last weekend. Now we just did Portland, and that concludes kind of the West Coast tour.
Hoping to put on Chicago next month.
Possibly Chicago next month. Unfortunately, Kay won't be there, though.
Yeah, I have to go back to England, unfortunately. They're
going
to have to miss those ones.
But yeah, on that note, though, hopefully if my UK spouse visa goes through, then there will be UK tour dates coming up in the summer.
Oh, no, right on.
Yeah, that's hopefully the plan for July and August to do tour dates around the UK.
Help get on our feet financially.
Yeah. So are you going to live in the States or are you going to live over there or part-time here, part-time there?
I've been living in the UK full-time for the next foreseeable future.
Yeah, the next few years at least. Yeah. And then after that, maybe over to America, see how we're doing.
Yeah, definitely.
But we plan on like coming back every few months and doing a little workshop tour and going to some of the fire festivals and that kind of thing.
Good. Do you feel like this was a success then?
Yeah, no, I think it was really good, actually. Certain city, I won't go there. But everything was really good. Learned a lot. Some stuff to do, some stuff not to do. Learned a lot. I think next tour is going to be even better. Probably have a couple more cities on there and probably do them a little less time. Still be 6-hour workshops, but closer together.
Yeah, that was really intense. But I enjoyed the time frame and the space was great. The lotus seed was really good. So how did you get into this? Where was, you know, were you a juggler poi or were you, did you start from a hooper background? Can you even hoop on your waist?
That's a very recent development.
He started to learn this year.
Yay!
The peer pressure of having a wife who does on body hooping.
Oh, right on. Is that how you met?
Yeah, we met at Burning Man when we were both hooping at Burning Man last year.
I started 7 years ago because the girl I was dating at the time, her and her boyfriend, their names were Jen and Peter, and they were playing with hoops a bit because they saw Ryan Mellers, who was a contact juggler, a Canadian guy, who started playing with hoops with another juggler, a French guy named Jago, and they started because of they were inspired by Michael Motion's old videos. So, Jen and Peter were playing a little bit with hoop isolations, just pretty basic stuff, and then they showed me a video of... videos of Ryan Mellers and this French guy, Jago, who I don't know if he does anything anymore. But I saw a video of them. I was like, okay, well, clearly that's something I need to do. And then I started doing it, yeah. That was the first thing I started learning. And like a month later, I started spinning poi. And then I got burned out on poi eventually. But I still do hoop, so that's good.
Yeah, it's really amazing. It's really amazing to watch. And all right, so tell me a little bit more about the meeting at Burning Man.
So last year we'd both gone there. We were staying at different camps, but we were both hooping a lot and been watching each other hoop for hours and hours. And then eventually we had a mutual friend, Gail O'Brien, who won Hoop of the Year this year. She's awesome. And she introduced us, and then we just couldn't stop talking and started hooping together. And it's really nice having a partner who you can talk about hooping stuff.
You can totally geek out.
Yeah, they don't look like they're bored. You can just talk about that kind of thing. It's awesome. And I've got you doing on body hooping and you've got me doing more off body hooping, so it's been a nice combination.
It's a nice
really
blend.
Burning Man, magical place.
So you also mentioned fire festivals and stuff. You spend fire in what capacity?
I do mostly fire hooping and a little bit of fire poi, and you do fire poi.
Yeah, and that's it. I don't really do any other fire props. I've actually never been to a fire festival either. We plan on going to Pacific Fire Gathering, though. That's going to be a good one.
Good.
I've been wanting to go to that one for a long time.
Yeah, me too. I missed out last year, and I heard it was really great, and it's so close by, and, you know, and you camp, and...
Yeah, definitely.
Which is really nice. So, also, I overheard you say you have lived in Portland before, or are you from Portland?
No, I'm from Omaha, Nebraska. Lived in Portland for a little over 2 years, though. Mm-hmm. It was, like, 2006 to... end of 2008.
So what brought you to Portland
initially? At the time, I was dating a girl, Jen, and then she was going to school at Reed College. So we moved out here for that, and then started doing gigging and doing shows, teaching some poi lessons, doing workshops.
Did you do the juggling festival
at
Reed?
Portland Juggling Festival and all that. And then the weather was just a huge drag, so I just kind of moved after the second year. After the second winter, it's like, I can't do that again. I got to get out of here. So, yeah. But I like visiting. I love visiting, though.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
And I would like to live here again someday at some point.
And you'll be used to it after we've been living in England.
Exactly. You just adapt. Yeah. So possibly moving to the UK, doing some workshops there. Where do you see, what else is on the horizon for you? I mean, this is a really cool little hiccup along the way. Definitely.
Yeah, it's kind of a transitionary period. I mean, right now this is the first time I've ever tried to do just juggling type stuff full time. So working performing with hoops, teaching workshops, and doing that sort of thing as a career. I don't know. I'm just gonna keep doing this and keep doing workshops until we're financially stable. And I like to transition doing more performing and unfortunately less teaching. I know.
the performing can pay a little better than the teaching. So where do you guys live now?
Bristol in England.
Okay.
Yeah. Although it's kind of transitionary time because we're just applying for the visa. So hopefully once that's gone through, they allow Dustin to work in England and then we can properly move there together.
Well, it probably is easier to do that over there than it is over here. Reverse.
About the same. Both countries really don't like letting people in, but we're very hopeful.
Both countries don't like people. Well, that's cool. Anything else? Anything that's been inspiring you along the way? Any cool stories about some of the cities you were at or people you met? Fortuitous things, someone you've always wanted to meet just happened to be in the town you went to visit, or just some phenomenal workshop? Or
I suppose there's been a lot. We've both been traveling together since April 16th, and I left the 11th. So it's been more than a month solid.
One of the highlights has definitely got to be when we were staying at the Vulcan, our friend Revolver an extra wedding ceremony.
Another Oregonian.
Yeah. Very, very, very good. She got ordained especially, and she did an amazing wedding ceremony for us. And we had our friends juggling an archway, and it was awesome. So that was probably... And I found a wedding dress for free in the free box there that fit me perfectly. It was all
Yeah,
that was an awesome random bundle of events.
That was quite good. Yeah, met loads of cool people though. Lots of new people, seeing lots of older people, old people.
Old friends.
People that I've known for a while. Seen a fair amount of old people too, I suppose. But it's been cool seeing old friends, meeting new ones, seeing some new places, lots of new places. It's been really exciting.
Yeah.
Overall, really good. I think we should just do this every year.
Very well received. I know that most of the people that took the workshop this time will be doing it again. So if anything, just what was that?
Yeah.
What was that thing? I just can't wrap my brain around it.
Yeah.
We wanted to make sure that we put a lot of different material in the workshops because, especially with the two hoop stuff, it's such multi-level take the class that we wanted to make sure that everyone got a lot out of the class.
Yeah.
But it is all stuff that can frazzle your brain a little bit. So
trying
to keep that
You
balance.
Could tell by the look on people's faces. It was just
it's a little tough because I know it is frustrating too, especially when you're learning a lot of this stuff. If you don't come from a background where you've done any of it before, then you're using both sides of your body independently.
And we were saying next time we come through, some people wanted to learn the same moves with poi first. So maybe doing kind of beginner level poi class that's the same moves we'll teach with two hoops with poi. So
that's a great idea. Actually, I was just talking about that with another friend. I said we should take a basic poi class because I think this will help us transition into these poi style moves.
Definitely. It's getting all the same moves but without the thumb spin, so it's I think it's quite a nice way for people who've spun poi before. I think find the double hoop stuff a lot easier, and I think it gives you a really good grounding. So if people want to learn a lot of twin stuff, we'll probably put on a beginner's poi alongside it next time in case anyone wants to do it that way.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Because I know that they have, I don't know if they did it last year, but the year before, they had a, just like a side workshop at Hoop Camp for poi. You know, just using the sock, you know, the sock poi.
Yeah.
And that was, you know, just learning how to turn.
Yeah.
And knowing when to swoop, and you know, definitely. And that was like, wow, I never would have thought of that. You know, I just wouldn't hit myself with my hoops, you know.
Yeah.
So that was nice. I think that's a great idea. So nice short tour, short but sweet.
Yeah.
And now you know you're learning, so you know what to do this time or not to next time.
Yeah, had some scheduling mistakes at first. We had to like move some flights around and stuff.
Yeah.
And each time you move that flight around, it's like, shit, that's an extra like $200.
No, yeah, that really eats into
so, like,
the budget.
Yeah, it's like one mistake. It's like, bam, a couple $100. Another mistake, $200 more.
Oh, yeah, well, you learn those. It's like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was the other thing? So you said you were also performing during this. So did you set up?
Oh no, I haven't been performing at all during this tour. But
okay.
I like to transition to just more performing in general. It's kind
I
of
see.
Doing the workshops is like the financial for financial stability.
Yeah. So like you're in town for performance, it's like, hey, I'm gonna schedule a workshop.
Yeah.
Or
we've been just going around just for the workshops this time.
Yeah.
And,
in future, it'd be nice to have it. A bit more performance heavy.
Yeah.
About time, and then.
And then just kind of do workshops. I'm gonna go to someplace cool, or like kind of do an extended vacation rather than have it be like the primary source of income, because it's stressful, you know.
Yeah.
You're like coordinating with people in like 6 different cities or 7 different cities at a time,
and trying to organize it when you with a lot of cities we didn't know anyone there to begin with.
Oh yeah,
you really need the help of the Hoop community to fill the workshops. So we've been very fortunate that most of the cities we've had someone who's been like really super helpful with helping promote.
Yeah, definitely.
Encouraging the local Hoop community.
Great. Hear that, Hoop community? Support these workshops, definitely.
Otherwise we can't afford to do them.
Yeah, that has to be scary. It's like, like you said, you had to cancel a couple gigs because no one had prepaid.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, you can't just like show up and like, well, do we have a...
Yeah.
Can we...
Especially as we have to book the flights and pay for the space first, so... Very important if you want people to keep coming and touring through your city, pre-register for them when they're coming.
And tell your friends.
Tell your friends, pre-register, and then more and more visiting teachers can come through.
It
makes a really big difference, because some cities we've had to cancel, and then afterwards people are like on Facebook going, but we really wanted you to come, and it's like, please prepay them, and then we can book the flights, and we're not just losing money.
Yeah, well, maybe now, like in the you know, when you do the Facebook thing, it's just like, look, we need X amount of people
to
prepay before we know for sure we can come. So,
And it's all this kind of thing that we're working out. We're doing the first tour is kind of, you know, how long in advance you need to start advertising. And also, some cities you think will have an amazing Hoop community, and then very few people turn up. And other places, you don't expect there to be nearly as many Hoopers, but they're all like super enthusiastic, and they all come along to the workshops. So it's very strange from city to city. Like, it's not always what you'd expect from the largest Hoop communities. Don't necessarily have the largest turnout for workshops. Some Hoop communities are just really in like on it, definitely. And then hopefully if we can get the visa sorted, we can do that across the UK and then come back to America around Burning Man, hopefully.
Yeah.
Do festivals again, have some fun, teach some workshops afterwards.
Well, awesome. Anything else you'd like to say?
Oh, I don't know. Come to the next round of workshops.
And everyone who came this time, thank you so much for coming.
Yes.
We've had a really nice bunch of people.
Actually, everybody has helped like set up the workshops, who I've stayed with, who both of us have stayed with, who's attended the workshops. Yeah, lots of thank yous.
Yeah.
I'm gonna send all those out when I get back to Omaha.
Definitely.
Well, we appreciate you coming into Portland and blowing our minds. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
So there you have it. Really awesome couple, great people, such a joy to have them in Portland. So the moral of this story is support your workshops, support your hoopers. You see someone coming into town, you may not be able to afford to go, maybe you know some people that can. I had a great fortunate situation where a friend of mine was not able to attend a workshop, and she gifted me a ticket. So thank you, Darcy, very much. I was able to attend Luna Breeze workshop. So yeah, the hooping community just rocks. I have to say that hands down. And hopefully I'll be able to do this a little more frequently. I feel like there's a need for a podcast for hoopers, and there's definitely a lot of people to talk to and a lot of cool things to talk about. You know, we're all geeky about hooping. So have a fantastic New Year's. I hope I get this up before New Year's Eve. Have a blessed 2013. We survived the apocalypse, so that's got to say something, right? All right. Have a great time hooping, people. I love you. Bye.